Let us open the Word of God, and we will read from Matthew chapter 6, the verses 19 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, and we start to read at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So, beloved, we have seen Christiana and Mercy. We have followed them. They're on their way with the four sons of Christiana, Matthew, James, Samuel, and Joseph. And they have gone through the narrow gate. We saw that last time, how that Christiana was quite soon could gain enter. She had to knock several times, but then she could go in together with her four sons. But that Mercy was still outside, and then the door shut nearly in her face, and she was afraid that she was not allowed to go in. And then she knocked again, and she knocked very loud, and then she fainted because she feared she could not enter in. And why was it that she feared? Because she did not have the invitation, the same invitation that Christiana had. And yet she desired to come along on pilgrimage. And that's why she was afraid that, because she did not have that same invitation, that she was not allowed to enter in. But the Lord heard her cries and heard her knocking. For has he not said, knock, and it shall be opened unto you? And what we find here is that Bunyan gives us beautiful examples of different ways how the Lord leads his people. that actually every child of God has his own unique conversion. Just as in nature, the leaves on the trees are all different. That's why also the way the Lord leads his people is all different. There are comparisons and similarities, just as there are similarities in snowflakes or in leaves, but they're all different, also snowflakes. And that's how conversion is too. There's not one the same. There are different emphases. And that's what Bunyan wanted to bring across to us, that we should not be fixed upon one specific manner how the Lord converts people. And maybe you did not experience such a clear, profound, inward calling in your life, like you know that others did. I spoke to a woman in my first congregation. She used to live a worldly life. And she told me she was struck by the Lord on the dancing floor. Well, that's possible. But that doesn't mean to say that we all need to have that same kind of call. It can be also a very gradual call or a very meek call, whatever it is. But the Lord places the desire in one's heart to follow the Lord. And that's what mercy had done. And so mercy was allowed to enter in. And the man at the gate, that is Christ. They enter in through Christ. That's what Bunyan wanted to make very clear in Pilgrim's Progress Part 2. He had some criticism on Part 1. But here he makes it very clear that the man who controls the gate is the Lord Jesus himself. But at the same time, the view on Christ is not altogether clear. A growth is often needed in that matter. And that's why we find here also that this man at the gate takes Christiane and Mercy up on top of the gate. Then they have a view and they see in the distance the cross. And that's why they were allowed to enter in. It's at the distance. And that's also so often in spiritual life, that in the distance you see something of who the Lord Jesus is. But there's growth in that matter. There's an unfolding of so many riches in Christ. And there's a growth in the knowledge of self and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Well, you remember last time they went on the pilgrimage and then there were these two ill-favored men, says Bunyan. And they bothered these two women quite shamefully. And they cried out and then a man in the gate heard them. Reliever was his name. And when he came, those two ill-favored men, they climbed over the wall and went back into the field of Beelzebub, where they belong. And then these women realized that they actually needed someone to coach them, to lead them. And that's then, you see, they call that a conductor. And you know that's going to be Greatheart, whom we will meet at the end of this lecture. Greatheart, and Greatheart stands actually for a pastor, for a minister who is called to guide and lead the flock and to protect the flock and to watch over her and to stand in front of danger to protect the flock. And that's what Greatheart is going to do. Well, now we see how this pilgrim's party walks on, just Mercy and Christiane and the four boys. That's all. And they come to the house of Mr. Interpreter. Christian had been there before, pilgrim, and he also saw interesting lessons there. And Christiana and Mercy are going to see these same lessons. And this Mr. Interpreter is an illustration of the Holy Spirit, who will lead further into God's truth, who applies God's word to our heart. And so he leads them through this house of instruction. He shows them various illustrations and examples that Christian had already seen. For instance, that man who was in the iron cage, who was moaning and groaning. There was no salvation for him. We saw the man in that dream who dreamt that he stood before the judgment throne of God. It was a dream and he woke up all terrified and shaking. And then there was also that illustration of the man who broke through the evil one standing in front of the heavenly gate, and he broke through with a shield, and in the power of the Lord I will overcome. And he gained entrance into the glorious palace. And then they saw also the illustration of a Christian. How beautiful Bunyan describes that Christian. That someone who brings forth children, who raises them into godliness. His eyes are focused upon heaven. In his hand he has the best book, and the word of truth is upon his lips. He is able even to explain difficult matters to sinners. And just as that man was standing there, he was pleading, praying for the salvation of sinners. The world was behind his back, and in front of him there was the celestial city. A crown was hanging above his head. And it's all an illustration of a Christian who learns to despise the world, to reject it, and to be focused upon the Lord and heavenly matters. Well, Christian had seen these illustrations, but now there are new illustrations, examples, lessons that Mr. Interpreter will give to Christiana. And so they find a man who is always looking down to the ground. And he has a rake in his hand. His head is bowed down and he's raking mud and sand and straw, rubbish, muck, is what Bunyan writes. And he was so busy raking that all together, the little bits of straw, that he didn't look up. He had no time to look up. He didn't realize there was a crown above him. There was someone standing here with a crown ready to offer him, but he didn't pay attention to it. He was far too busy raking in the muck. And Christiana says, I know what this means. That someone who lives only for the world. And Mr. Interpreter says that she had seen it correctly. And that rake are the carnal thoughts that can captivate a person and keep him away from the kingdom of heaven and from celestial glories. And he's always looking down because he can only focus on the things of this world. And that's why he has this muck rake and he's raking in the muck. And then Christiana sees this and she says, O Lord, deliver me from this muck rake. And the misinterpreter says, you know, the prayer, give me neither riches or poverty. That is from Proverbs 30. It's a prayer that only one of the 10,000 people will pray. Because people are all busy trying to gain things and matters from this daily life instead of being focused upon the true treasures. And so Mercy and Christiana look at that man and the tears were in their eyes. Tears of compassion. Then they were brought to another room and there they saw a mother hen with her chickens. And they had to look at that. And they looked at those chickens walking around. And then they noticed that a chicken, when it got some water in its beak, it looked up. And that's an example. That we should look up to the Lord for the daily blessings we receive. That we should show gratitude. And then also they noticed that this mother hen had various sounds to call her chickens. There was a common call. There was a special call. There was a brooding note and an outcry. Well, the common call is just very normal, doesn't mean something special. But when there's a special call, then there can be a special call to gather her chickens. And then there's this note that she utters when she's brooding or lays an egg. And then there's an outcry when there's danger. And all the chickens flee back underneath the wings of Mother Hen. And so, Mr. Interpreter says, that's how the king also gathers his people. As a hen gathers her chickens. Sometimes there's a general word, can also be a special word. And there can also be a call of cry to gather them under their wings. And there can also be a very urgent outcry for danger when the enemy is there. So both these women focus upon these lessons and try to remember them. Christiana desires to learn more lessons. She's not quickly satisfied. And so Miss Interpreter honors her request and takes them into a slaughterhouse. And there was a sheep was busy being slaughtered. And the sheep was silent, didn't say anything, underwent patiently her lot, her death. And so we may learn from this sheep, says Mr. Interpreter, also to suffer and also to bear injustice and to do this without murmuring, without complaining. Because the heavenly king calls those who follow him sheep. So they're called to be meek and to be patient and be willing to suffer injustice for the sake of the Lord. And then Christiana and Mercy are led into a garden, and it's full of beautiful flowers. And the flowers are all different colors, beautiful. But there's not one flower that is jealous of another flower. There is no jealousy whatsoever. There's no friction between these flowers. They're all blossoming. And that's how it should be between children of God. The one may have a more brighter color than the other. The one may blossom greater than the other, but there should be no quarrels or no jealousy. We should be grateful that we all, when we know the Lord Jesus, we all have our beauty. And then they came to another field where there was grain, wheat was growing there, but the top of the wheat had been harvested. There was only left some roots and some stubble, and then that's going to be plowed under. And that shows then that really the issue in life is the fruit, not how tall we are, not how much we grow, but the fruit. Because everything outside of the fruit is going to be plowed under. So we have to be careful to be fruitful. And then as you walk back into the house, they see a robin, a beautiful bird. So nice. And they see that robin has an ugly black spider in its beak. And it's going to eat that spider. And Christiana says, how awful. I thought that robins would only eat crumbs of bread. They were nice, attractive birds, that they would never want to eat a disgusting spider like that. And then Mr. Interpreter says, yeah, there's a lesson here. Because that robin is an example from some people who are in church, that they pretend to be very beautiful, and they pretend they have great love for the true confession of the Lord, and they pretend that they are very godly, and that's how they act with other God-fearing people. But when they're alone, then they think they can do all kinds of ugly sins, because nobody sees me. And then they can swallow iniquity like water, just as that robin is going to swallow that ugly spider. Well, in the meantime, they came inside the house, and dinner was not yet ready. So then Christiana asks again for more lessons. And then interpreter gives her a whole list of proverbs. Now I'll just quickly go over those proverbs, that there is the fatter the sow, the more she desires the mire. The fatter the ox, the more gamesomely, the more willingly he goes to the slaughter. So there's a desire in women to go neat and fine, and it is a comely thing to be adorned with that is in God's sight of great price. It's easier watching a night or two than to sit up a whole year together. So it's easier to start something, but it's much more difficult to persevere in something. Every shipmaster who is in a storm, he will cast overboard that which of smallest value. But who throws out the best thing? Those who do not fear God. One leak will sink a ship, and one sin that's allowed to fester will destroy a sinner. He that forgets his friend is ungrateful to that friend. But he that forgets his Savior is unmerciful to himself. He that lives in sin and looks for happiness hereafter is like him that soweth weeds and thinks he will harvest wheat or barley. If a man would live well, let him fetch his last day to him. Think about the last day that's going to come. Think about that if you want to live well. And let the thought of his last day be his company keeper. Whispering and change of thoughts prove that sin is in the world. Because by sin we change good intentions. If the world which God sets light by is counted as a thing of worth with men, what is heaven which God commendeth? If the life that is attended with so many troubles is so loath to be let go by us, even though life can be difficult, we hold on to life, what is the life above? Everybody will cry out the goodness of men, but who is there that is, as he should, affected with the goodness of God? We seldom sit down to eat, but we eat and leave. It's not that we sit down for a long time. We just eat and then we get up and leave again. We don't stay there. Well, there is in Jesus Christ more merit and righteousness than the whole world has need of. So, and then interpreter, he takes them into his house, no, into his garden, and he shows him a tree. The tree was on the inside rotten. The trunk was quite empty, and yet there were still leaves growing on it. And Mercy asked, what does this mean? He explained to them, this tree is on the outside, looks beautiful, but inside it is rotten. And so there are many, Bunyan comments, in the garden of God. With their lips they speak beautifully about the Lord, but on the inside they want to have nothing to do with him. The leaves look beautiful, but their heart is useful for nothing. Well, in the meantime, the dinner is ready in the house of misinterpreter, and they all sit at table. And after they had thanked the Lord, they started to eat. While they were singing, there were minstrels playing on musical instruments. They were singing a rendition of Psalm 23. And when the music was stopped, Mr. Interpreter asked Christiana why she went on pilgrimage. And then she explained how she had misbehaved herself towards her husband and had tried to stop her husband from going initially on pilgrimage. And then she explained how she was upset about that, had regrets. And then she received this invitation of the king. And now she wants to go on pilgrimage to be there where the king is. And she explained also what happened. They went through the narrow gate. They were attacked by two ill-favored men. And their misinterpreter asked Mercy how come that she went along on pilgrimage. And she said, I didn't have those dreams that Christiana had. And I didn't have that same invitation. But I was convinced that I should go on pilgrimage. And I was prepared to leave my father and my mother and my own country and to go along with Christiana. And then, doubting Mercy is greatly reassured. She was kind of fearful up to this moment. But then his Mr. Interpreter, God's Holy Spirit, confirms in her heart, it will be well with you. And he encourages her. The Lord recompense thy works, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And they made such an impression upon Mercy. And when they went to bed, Mercy lay on her bed, and she couldn't sleep. She was so full of joy, full of grace, because of this beautiful encouragement she received. She worshipped the Lord. Well, in the morning they went on pilgrimage further, they had to leave. But their misinterpreter says you first need to take a bath. As a girl, innocent, takes him into the garden, and there's a bath, and there they can wash themselves. And so prepare themselves for their pilgrimage. So they all received a bath. Mercy and Christiana are clean and the boys are clean. They were enlivened. They were strengthened in their joints, Bunyan writes. And they looked more fair. Well, misinterpreter looks at them, and then they receive a seal. Because it says those who come out of the bath, they receive a seal upon their forehead. And so they will be known in the places where they go to, that they have taken this bath, and they have received this seal. This seal is the seal of Passover, the Passover feast, which was given to the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt, and it was an adornment upon their face. And their misinterpreter says to the maid that she has to get the clothes for these people, new clothes, and they receive white, stainless, fine linen clothes. And she laid them all down before them, and they all had to get dressed in these white clothes. And also the four boys had to be dressed in white, fine linen. And when they were all dressed like this, Bunyan writes, they all looked at each other and they said, you're far more beautiful than I am. Because they didn't see their own clothes. They saw the clothes of the other. And they esteemed the other above themselves. And in this attitude, they went on pilgrimage. But before they went out, Mr. Interpreter called one of his servants, and his name was Great Heart. He had a sword and a shield. He wore a helmet. And Mr. Interpreter gave the assignment to Mr. Greatheart to accompany both these women and the four boys, and to protect them and to lead them to the House Beautiful. And there they would receive further instruction. So Greatheart takes his weapons, leads them, and Misinterpreter wishes them God's blessing upon their journey. And so they continue their pilgrimage. Well, you've already noticed, beloved, that there is much spiritual instruction here. I am more and more amazed of that beautiful man, John Bunyan, how the Lord changed him, renewed him from someone who was known notorious for his cursing. The Lord saved him in battle. The Lord converted him, brought him through darkness, and gave him so much spiritual light, insight, that he could write such works. Well, we see here also then various lessons and the various illustrations. They are lessons for us. For instance, that man in the iron cage, that's a man who has sinned so much that he has denied the work of the Lord Jesus. He has denied the work of the Holy Spirit and despised God's work. And now he's in an iron cage. In a certain sense, we could call it the sin against the Holy Spirit. But when a person commits the sin against the Holy Spirit, he is so hardened, he doesn't care less. He just pursues on. So one who has committed sin against the Holy Spirit will not be in that iron cage groaning and moaning, there's no salvation for me anymore, woe is me, I have sinned. He will do that in hell. But John Bunyan wants to bring out the word of warning. Like Hebrews 6 tells us, that those who have been enlightened, not regenerated, but enlightened, who have tasted something of the Spirit's work, if they rebel against that, that's a sin against the Holy Ghost, they can never come to repentance. And that doesn't mean that we now should say, well, you know, God's people will always be kept, so they will never do the sin against the Holy Spirit, so there's no problem for us. No, then you miss the point. Because the point is that we would be alert not to reject, not to despise, in whatever circumstance we are, but to sanctify the Lord in our hearts, to be alert to do that, is written for a warning for us, not to despair, but to be alert, to be watchful against the cunning, deceit, and temptations of the devil, so that we would not end up like that man in the iron cage. And also, the man who had that dream that he stood at before the judgment throne of God, he woke up, he was trembling. Well, that's also a warning for us. You and I, we will stand before the judgment throne of God. That will happen sooner than you and I think. And therefore, let us now make due preparations to find peace with God. And then the issue is that we would learn to surrender our life to Him, and that we beg for God's Spirit to teach us to love God with all we have, and that our wicked inclinations would be subdued, that our hearts would be united to the fear of God's name. And then we see that image of the man who breaks through all the difficulties of entering the kingdom of heaven. He refers to Luke 13, verse 24. Strive to enter in through the narrow gate. For many there be that will want to enter in but cannot enter, will not be able to. Strive to enter in through the narrow gate. What does that mean? Does that mean that a person has to struggle and has to fight and has to pray a lot and has to work a lot, all kinds of spiritual work, to enter in through the narrow gate leading to the narrow path? What I mean is, when a person is called to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees that he cannot believe, that he cannot struggle, that he cannot strive, that he cannot do anything. That's what God's word tells us. Dead in trespasses and sins. Then we should not, in preaching, lay all kinds of conditions upon people that they need to fulfill before they can enter in through this narrow gate. There's only one thing to do. Cease from work. And to look. To confess. To knock. To cry out for the living God. Not fulfilling all kinds of conditions. Not to have to struggle and go through all kinds of fights to enter in. No. Let go. Fall down. That's it. Nothing more. No deep struggle. No deep fight. But what does it mean when the Lord Jesus says, strive? It's a struggle to enter in through the narrow gate. That's the struggle of Christian life. In order to enter heaven, that is not a cakewalk, excuse the expression. It's a struggle, a strife against yourself, strife against evil influences. It's a struggle from whatever angle, whatever comes and falls upon us in our personal lives. The biggest struggle is with ourselves, to subdue ourselves. And sometimes you have to bear things from others with patience and still knowing how to love them and even pray for them. And then there are other temptations. Maybe there are afflictions of other people, persecution or loneliness, or maybe there's darkness, spiritual darkness. That's all things that fall upon the life of a child of God. And still that life of a child of God is inestimably better than a life in the world. But that's the struggle. That's the strife. As soon as you have learned to surrender to the Lord Jesus, then you are put upon pilgrimage. And initially you may have so much love in your heart and so much joy in your soul that you think, I will never sin again. The Lord is so near to me. It is so blessed and good. But it doesn't take long before the struggles come and the arrows are shot at you and you have to use a shield of faith. And you see him not and feel him not and experience him not, but you have to go forward. That's a struggle, is it not? A Christian is called to be a struggler, a fighter, a warrior. And that's what Bunyan depicted. Because going through, entering into that beautiful castle with the shining ones on there, that's heaven. And how to get to heaven, to strive and to struggle through all the opponents. In the power of the Lord, I will subdue you. And he overcame. Because the life of a Christian is a struggle. But it doesn't matter, because it's still the best life. The Lord is with you, and He is your shield, and He is your reward. And all things will work together for your good. The devil uses things to try to compromise you. But the Lord turns it around. That is for your blessing. You're being drawn closer to Him. That's the struggle. But to enter in through the initial narrow gate, we can experience that as a struggle, wondering how, and that we are a riddle to ourselves. But there's one way: to fall down, to look away from yourself, and to look to Him. Well, that's what Bunyan tried to explain here. And then Christiana saw some new images. Because that's how it is in spiritual life. The Lord teaches new things. Isn't that so? As life progresses. And isn't it not so that a child of God has a hunger for spiritual things? That he wants to know more and more? That he's not easily satisfied. He wants to learn more. And that's why Christiana asked for more examples and more instruction. And so Christiana and her company sees that man with a muckrake. Yeah, well, I think it's obvious. He lives for this world. People gathering riches. Riches. Many riches. And they're never satisfied. House is not big enough. Then we need another house. Always looking down at the mud, the muck. That's all it is. Man considers heaven to be a fairy tale, and we have to be down to earth and practical. We live for this life and this world. We have to get ahead. And that we keep God far from us. It's a serious warning for us, because we can also be handling that muckrake. And then that beautiful room, there was nothing in there. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. But the beautiful room of that, they were led in the beautiful room and there's nothing there. This is the most beautiful room, the most important room of the house, misinterpreter had said. And they looked around, there was nothing there. It was a beautiful room, but nothing there. And then they saw an ugly black spider on the wall. What do you see? I see nothing. But then, oh yeah, I see that ugly spider. Well, that's an example of a sinner. That ugly spider is a poisonous spider. And so a sinner also has the poison of sin in him. But he is allowed to be in the most beautiful room, the most important room, in the presence of the Lord. He is welcome there, in the house of the King of Kings. And then Christiana and Mercy had tears in their eyes when they heard this. And then the illustration of those chickens drinking water and looking up. Yes, everything comes from above. Everything we received. Gratefulness towards our benefactor. And at the same time, various callings of that mother hen. And so the Lord has different callings to us as well. And then that illustration of that sheep that was going to be slaughtered. I mentioned that already. The patience, the meekness that is needed. That if we are sheep of the good shepherd, we should try not to complain or to grumble. You and I should not do that in the things of daily life. But be more joyful, also in difficulties. Meek and patient. And then those beautiful flowers. What an illustration, isn't it? Every child of God has his own special gift. And we're not to be jealous, not to look at the other. But we are to be grateful. And then we need fruit. Fruit, because those wheat plants were cut down. And what remains is going to be thrown into the fire, is going to be raked under. And it's also noteworthy how Bunyan warns for false belief. It's astounding how he does that. The Puritans did that more often. Bunyan does that too. We can learn from that. About that robin. Now, that's how a child of God can. No, no, not a child of God. But someone in church can be. Pretends he's very fine and godly. But when he's alone, he sins freely. And so it's a warning to us. How do we live? We don't want to be exposed as hypocrites, do we? So it's a summons to self-examination. And then also, so beautiful how they came further and they saw, then they received more illustrations that a cow is ready for the slaughter, it's so fat. And so people who are so fat and they're spoiled and they think only about what's nice, they are ready to fall into sin and to perish. And women like to be dressed neatly, that's a good thing. But the most important thing is that we should be adorned in the face of God. What is our adornment before the face of God? What does God see in our lives? Spiritual fruit. It can be that a few nights we can't sleep. It doesn't have to be so bad. But you can't stay awake a whole year. Well, the example, the comparison Bunyan wants to bring across is you can start something. I mentioned that already. But to finish it, it's perseverance. To persist, to carry on in season, out of season. To maintain the good confession. Keep up to the end. And then a shipmaster, captain, when there's a big storm, will throw first overboard that which is of less value. But someone who does not fear God, does not understand spiritual realities, throws the first, the most important things overboard. Then he has no time for church anymore. Or no time for reading God's word. No, I have to work. I have to get my business in order. I have to... Someone who does not fear God throws first the most important thing out. And how we can be neglecting towards the Lord who has given so much good to us. To be grateful, to be thankful. The chief work of thankfulness is prayer, to show gratitude to the Lord as rendering ourselves as a living sacrifice. That is essential. And we can be so neglecting towards the Lord and so forgetful that we forget his benefits while we should not forget one of them. And there are people who dream they will go to heaven. Bunyan says they're just like people who sow weeds and think they will harvest wheat. It's again a word of warning. And then it's good to think about the final day, the last day, the day of judgment. And so we should not whisper sins. We should be upright. And if we think of this world, certain things can be so beautiful, so attractive. What will heaven be? It's not to be compared. Paul says, to this life. And let then heaven be our aim. And people are also easily prone to establish and to demonstrate their own goodness. But we should speak well about the Lord. That's a comfort too. Maybe you have little to say about yourself. That can very well be true. You don't have to say anything about yourself. But to say something about God. His goodness, His power, His patience. That's good. God is good. And so Bunyan gives us that illustration of having food in abundance. But we should realize the food, the bread that comes from heaven, that's enough for the whole world. Again, what a blessed invitation. If we are blessed with food and drink, we have an abundance, and I believe we all have. Let us think about the abundance what the Lord Jesus gives as the bread of life. And so they are led into the garden. They see that example of that rotten tree that's still bringing forth some leaves and so on. From the outside, it looks quite nice. That's again an illustration of a hypocrite. Again, Bunyan warns for that. From the outside, it appears very nice. So it's a word for self-examination. A word to be careful. And so the meal starts and they sit there and they eat and they drink and they sing. How beautiful. Reading the word of God and singing. Do we sing at our supper table? I hope you do. My wife and I tried to do that. It's good. We're together. And even if you're alone, when you're alone, do you ever sing? It's a good thing. Bunyan gives you the example that they sang together, to sing psalters together. It's beautiful. Try to have that as a custom in your home. Maybe you do. It's a good thing. And Christian fellowship. How Bunyan describes, how Misinterpreter asks Christiana, how did you come on your pilgrimage? And he asks, that's to Mercy. And so Mercy and Christiana explain the dealings of the Lord. That's so good. I know there's a proper time for that. But to say something about God's guidance in our lives, not to boast, but to speak well of God. That's good in our personal interaction. That's what Bunyan wants to bring across. That's how we should be. As husband and wife, together what you have read in your personal Bible reading, that you speak about that. And maybe your wife has a question that you can answer her. It's so good to speak about the dealings of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord. And then they are bathed, they're washed. Well, people say Bunyan refers to Christian baptism by this. Could very well be. Bunyan had his children baptized as infants. There's no public record of Bunyan being rebaptized. So that's why it's questionable if he really was a Baptist. But he did join the Baptist local congregation. And there he was a minister. But anyway, we can say this bathing is intended to be an example of Christian baptism. And then they receive a seal. That's God's Spirit upon them, the fruit of God's Spirit. We may think of the Lord's Supper, which is also a sign and seal given to God's children. And then, before they leave on pilgrimage, they receive protection from Mr. Great Heart. And that's how it is in the life of God's children. the Lord gives them ministers of the gospel who are called to minister to them, to keep and protect them, to warn them, to watch over their souls, even at the expense of themselves. And Great Heart is going to do many things. And under the Lord's care, they carry on, and so we also may carry on under God's grace and goodness. Thank you.